B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week, we're doing a roundtable with the New Age Insiders. The topic, the state of pro wrestling. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike is home from the Patriots game where he hung out with Andy Wong, hardcore baseball host Matt McCarthy, and over-under hosts Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Mike, how's that voice hanging out?
You know, well, there it is. I told you. I was about
Good
to warn you.
Peter
I may
Brady.
Have... Yeah, there you go. I was probably bound for one of those. And, you know, Jeopardy Joe and Dan Lifshatz did set the over-under of me having four voice cracks. So if you took the over, you're looking pretty good right now, not even a minute through the show. But
all right,
overall,
you. I want to get to our guests.
Oh!
I want to
so there
introduce
you go. Drink,
our listeners
honey.
To three of our friends. It is Jason, Liam, and Bill, because I can't
you
afford their last names.
I
have more friends than you, that's for sure. They are the New Age Insiders. They do a wrestling podcast where listeners can connect, discuss, and be heard. At New Age Insiders is their Twitter account, Facebook, Instagram, MySpace, website. They're on Twitch TV. They're on Patreon. And anywhere and everywhere else you find your podcasts. Guys, did I get that anywhere close to right?
Jimmy, you were so close, but the cigar would have gone if it went a little something like this. Well, my name is Jason Maltop.
I'm Liam Stragger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
And we are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, and please do, including during these broadcasts, because we love talking to you, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville, NAI.
That's us.
The website where you can find everything that we've got going on is newageinsiders.com. Please check us out on twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. We are live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, and with an amazing community of people that actually love pro wrestling. Altogether, we have become the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. And we are thrilled to join J2 and Sarge. We really do mean that, guys. Thank you so much for having us on, and we look forward to talking wrestling with you. Once you memorize that, I'll give you that cigar.
The great thing about you guys is that you're carnies, and most of your good stuff is behind a paywall, so you guys are brilliant.
Yeah,
we're carnival barkers.
Yeah. Well, look, here's the thing. We are totally willing to sell out. We just haven't found anyone to sell out to.
That castle money hasn't come in yet.
Money hasn't come in.
Yeah, it's not at all that, like, I'm a prude. I am very much I'm a loose girl, right? I'm just at the party begging for it, right? No one's taking me home.
Yeah.
Trust me on that.
You know, and I've always been impressed with the NAI work that they do, the social media, you know, at live events, they're tweeting out, taking photos consistently. They're always on top of everything. Very good group of guys, and they know they're wrestling. They really do. So I'm excited to talk some shop with you guys here tonight.
And I'm here into everything.
Yay.
Right, baby.
As we start 2019, I want to kind of get a temperature of where pro wrestling is right now. And in my opinion, pro wrestling is pretty healthy with a ton of different options that are easy to find with internet and TV money. And now we have an NFL owner who has invested in pro wrestling. And at the moment, while I think about the state of pro wrestling in 2019, I feel like we're down to the hardcore fans who spend money at an insanely high rate. Hell, one fan who does mortgages, who, by the way, I like, does fan conventions now. So I worry that eventually the hardcore fan's credit card bill is going to come due. And soon after that, everybody else might have to go back to taping 3 months worth of TV shows from a TBS studio in Atlanta. But, Bill, and I want to start with you, since I've known you the longest out of the group.
Sure.
What is your overall opinion of where we are as far as a state of pro wrestling in 2019?
I have mixed feelings on that. I think as of right now, I think the wrestling as a whole is at an all-time high as far as stuff that's available, stuff that you can watch anytime you really feel like it. You know, the price of everything is pretty low. But however, the fan bases in wrestling are super fickle. as we are standing right now here in 2019.
Fickle.
It feels like they're just kind of against each other at any point during any sort of conversation. I mean, this whole AEW thing, you know, WWE fans are thinking that it's anti-WWE, and the WWE people are thinking that AEW is anti-WWE, and it's just like, why can't we just like what we like, enjoy what we like, talk about what we like, and, you know, why can't we just all get along in this?
Liam?
Yeah. I think that as we sit today here in 2019, we're definitely in a golden age of what is being offered, because you can find wrestling every weekend, and it's not just strictly WWE. You know, New Japan has become more accessible than it's ever been. Lucha Underground is on Netflix, and there's a bunch of seasons of that, and that's always fun. TNA is still floating around in the ether. Ring of Honor is putting on quality stuff, even though they have a little bit of an identity that they need to kind of figure out in 2019 with so many people coming. There's excitement around AEW, and, you know, the WWE has really kind of shown me something over the past 3 or 4 weeks with actually kind of taking this McMahon's taking the show back and, you know, kind of trying again. Just basically it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan, but I do feel what Bill is talking about when it comes to the fan bases. You know, you talk about the hardcore fans, and they seem more against each other than the actual promotions are.
So here's the thing about pro wrestling, right? It is in a real quagmire because there are two sides of the coin, and I think they carry equal weight. Then on the one hand, we are in this incredible transition period fan-wise, right? Where I think that the group that are on this show right now, the five of us, are at the tail end of a group that reaches to about 50 years old, right? And their identity of pro wrestling is Hulk Hogan, let me tell you something, brother. Big muscles, no technique, of an incredible amount of pageantry. And it's basically the muscle color run around good time show. It's just, that's what, yeah. You know, when you think of like stereotypical pro wrestling, you think of like grrr and, you know, overhead presses, right? And we are a fan base that is aging. And when you get to the tail end, closer to 45, 50, fading out of wrestling, right? And so, but there's also a generation that's about 16, 17, maybe even in their early 20s, right? About a 10-year gap where their definition of wrestling growing up isn't, let me tell you something, brother. It's flippy dips, and it's storytelling, and it's
different. Hustle, loyalty, and respect.
Ring of Honor, right, sure. It's different than what we're used to, because the reality of like Macho Man Randy Savage, his prime was over 25 years ago now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's just a different world. That being said, that we're in a transition of like what, because wrestling is always at its best when it's quote unquote cool, right? And so what we think wrestling coolness is fading away. And what fans that are younger are identifying as what wrestling coolness is are still sort of establishing themselves. So I think we're in a transition period, bridging that gap between Musclemania and Ricochet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also at the same time, the silver lining and the reason to be positive is this is also perhaps the greatest era of professional wrestling ever, because WWE is still doing what they're doing and consistent as ever, like it or love it or hate it. Ring of Honor, like you said, exists. TNA has a presence now, but AEW is exciting. There's independent shows. I bet you if you live within 10 miles, 15, 20 miles of a semi-major American market, there are wrestling promotions in your town you can go to with stars that might get signed. So with, you know, Japan's coming over here, New Japan's coming over. So the wrestling's great, but I think we're in a period where we're redefining what cool means when it comes to pro wrestling. And so that's the growing pain I see, is people out there that are like 35 that are like, I don't recognize this. And people that are 17 that are like getting into this, and lost in the shuffle are the in-betweens that just don't exactly know what pro wrestling's supposed to be. And it's reshaping itself in front of us. And again, it's a very cool time to be a fan, but it's also very fluid to me.
Your initial question was, where do we stand right now in 2019? And yeah, we're 2 weeks into the new year. And I do have to say that I think that it's a lot better than the way 2018 ended. And I'm basing that on the main WWE situational things, because the way WWE ended at the end of the year, I was not super happy with it. Particularly the Monday Night Raw brand. The SmackDown, that carried it, but that's half your programming right there. So, but the new edition of AEW this week, very excited to see how that is going to pan out. We're coming into the prime time season of professional wrestling here. We're 2 weeks away from the Royal Rumble, the official kickoff to WrestleMania. We have a potential another shakeup here with the superstars and the whole new outlook of WWE with the new addition of Fox as the broadcast rights for SmackDown on Friday nights. New opportunities with AEW with, you know, guys jumping ship to go work for Cody Rhodes and hang out with other guys he used to work with that feel they're not getting the opportunity that they have in WWE or have been working for years and not able to make it to that level where AEW is another opportunity for them. To Bill's point on fans being fickle, I guess, I can definitely agree with that. Like, there's a hardcore group of specific NXT fans where all they watch is just NXT. And they won't watch WWE programming because it's like a real hardcore situation. And then to hear what Jason had to say, too, about, you know, all of the young kids growing up now, kind of seeing what their, you know, the hustle, loyalty, respect. We were able to see the 80s and the 90s, Hulk Hogan, take your vitamins, say your prayers, brother. But we saw the Attitude Era. We've seen a lot of that. And yes, it has changed. So for someone that is just coming into professional wrestling now at this point, they really missed a lot. So they should read up on some things. If you're just starting to watch it, go back in the history book, go in the encyclopedia, go get the WWE Network, check up on some things, and then get caught up to the current product today because it has been a changing storm. And competition, I think, is the best thing for everyone, and it's a good thing that AEW is coming into the picture for WWE.
So a lot of things here, and this is four opening statements to all digest. Fans. Fans is the interesting thing to me. And do you guys remember whether fans were against each other when it was WCW versus WWF versus yep. ECW?
Yep. Yes, there were.
Oh, yeah.
If you go back and watch the network, you don't even need to like look for interviews or stuff. Just look at the signs. In Nitro crowds, there was a lot of signs calling, you know, Vince McMahon fears Bischoff, signs that were mocking Monday Night Raw. If you go to the Raw crowd, a lot of people said, you know, there were signs that would say WCW stands for We Can't Wrestle. And a lot of people actually, you know, who knows, there's old myths and rumors that WWF and WCW would supply you with those signs at the door if you wanted one. But I've never actually had that confirmed. And the second thing is, even if it was supplied by the company, you still chose to take one and hold it up. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there was absolutely brand loyalty back then, even though everybody watched both.
And the reason why I phrase it that way is because brand loyalty back then versus brand loyalty right now is the difference between in the late 90s, it was just on your television screen. Now, because of social media, you're wasting 30 minutes of your life fighting with, you know, troll 2669 because right. he insulted you and you let him into your mind because you're reading words on social media. And for some reason that bothers people when they don't understand that if you hit that little mute button there, they still follow you and you get to close your window.
Absolutely.
You know, F them for screaming into your house.
I do think that that's probably the biggest difference. The biggest difference is that there was always probably that potential of an argument. The only thing is that the internet and most specifically social media has been the best and the absolute worst place in the world because, you know, those people, like you said, troll 12345 can now just be a jerk to you for no reason. I mean, when the Roman Reigns experience was going on in full front, you know, I would jokingly make a comment about like doing something that else because Roman Reigns was on my TV, and I would get so many people telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, how dare you? And it's just like, I didn't offend your mother. I said that this wrestler is not one of my favorites, and I'm going to go make a sandwich.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is we've definitely gotten to the point where WWE, into a lot of people in the wrestling world, embodies that sort of like corporate agenda kind of thing, where like, you know, WWE is big radio, and I'm a punk rock band, and I don't even care.
Hey, like, we're on with big radio.
Yeah, you're right. Big top 40 radio, but I'm a pop, but maybe I'm a punk band, and I don't care that you don't want me. In fact, I don't even listen to you in the first place. And you're right. it used to be in like 1998, what the actual reality was, everybody had a favorite brand, but it was very much a Coke and Pepsi situation. Hey, I'd like a Coke. We have Pepsi. Is that okay? Everybody just says yes, right? You liked WCW more a little bit, but you know you watched Raw too, is that sort of thing. I think Jimmy's 100% right, and Sarge too, about these drawing lines where it's just, you know, drawing these lines where it's just like, listen, people that are into AEW like want WWE to fail and crumble because they're big, they're like, quote, big wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, right. They're like the big pharma
but that's
of wrestling.
Not good for anybody, because we've seen historically that when Vince McMahon is on top, that seeps down. And that affects all the other companies in a good way. If Vince McMahon hadn't have had that little hiccup where he was still trying to do the Goon and Ace Knuckleball Swartz, and Hulk Hogan doesn't go to WCW, we don't get the Monday Night Wars. We don't get that explosion. We don't get Ted Turner telling Eric Bischoff, hey, I'm giving you 2 hours of live TV on Monday night.
Yeah. Jimmy, to put it succinctly,
yes,
the history of modern professional wrestling, every ebb and flow, you look at, you know, a wave chart of growth in the history of professional wrestling, it all goes with somebody named Vince McMahon. What Vince McMahon Sr. did dictated the popularity of the sport in the country beyond what, you know, how popular it already was in Nashville, Tennessee. On a national level, what Vince Sr. did pushed it. And then when Vince Jr. took over, he redefined what professional televised wrestling was always going to be forever and ever. And when he got, you know, when he had a boom in 98, the industry had a boom in 98. When they're doing bad, the industry's doing bad. So if Vince McMahon, if the WWE were to close tomorrow, pro wrestling would be dead in 10 years.
Oh, absolutely. And you look at it, look at local independent wrestling promotions, right? When wrestling is bad, and we've seen it in the Boston area, one of the promotions that we here at the New Age Insiders work closely with is Chaotic Wrestling.
Love Chaotic and Wrestling.
They're out of Woburn. They do
love
a great
Ilya.
Job.
Ilya's the best.
February 1st, Lowell, Massachusetts, chaoticwrestling.com.
And when
Front Row already sold out.
Oh, yes. Story. And Cold
Fury.
And for Cold Fury.
Oh, and for Cold Fury. And so if you watch everything that was going on with Roman Reigns, when people were really against the product and not enjoying it, people weren't seeking out promotions like Chaotic Wrestling. Well, now everything's kind of been exciting over the past couple of months with WWE. And so people are now trying to seek out pro wrestling. And the crowds at Chaotic Wrestling have gone from pretty decent to almost full to standing room only in a matter of months. And it very much is dictated by what WWE does.
Yep.
You know, as much as people would like to think that TNA is going to make some sort of resurgence and overtake, or AEW is going to come out of left field because they have football, you know, NFL money now, that it's not. What we can only hope is that it at least wakes the sleeping giant so that they care.
That's always the biggest thing, is that WWF was always better. They just needed WCW to remind them that.
And you know what? And Rome was not built in a day. We know that. And things are going to take time. But the fact that there is a threat for some talent to make the jump to AEW.
Yeah. What Sarge said before he got murdered.
Yeah, right. No, but Sarge, to Sarge's point, like, it's a great point, is, you know, we've talked to a lot of wrestlers. One of the wrestlers we're really close with and hope he's doing okay right now is Flip Gordon, right?
We want success for those guys.
Right, and Flip has been on our show. We're live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/.
Sometimes shows up.
Flip just sometimes comes over our house. That really happened. But when you talk to Flip, and this isn't talking out of school, he's been very candid about it on our show. Flip could care less if he winds up in the WWE, because he's worried about creative control. He's worried about, you know, just the whether or not the pain in the ass factor outweighs the money, you know what I mean, kind of thing.
You can never put a price on happiness.
Right. And his mentality is, if I make it there, great. If I don't, I don't. I just want to be happy. We talked to, you know, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. We've talked to Josh Briggs, JT Dunn. You name it on like the local indie scene.
They're
right?
all better than you.
They are all better than me. But they all say the same thing. It is asinine to ask what's your goal in this business, because they're just going to tell you they want to be happy, healthy, and rich, right? And now Chris Jericho just came out and got interviewed and said he signed a 3-year deal with AEW, the fattest deal he's ever signed. So now not only are there more fun quote unquote places to go. That's not the grind of WWE. But now that he can afford to pay you, Ring of Honor, like, look, they're not touching WWE contracts, but the top guys in Ring of Honor are making six figures. For a pro wrestler that probably started out making $25 a night, not including travel that you had to pay for yourself, making, you know, $50, $60, $70, $80, $90, $100,000 a year is sweet. And way, and 20 years ago would have been a pipe dream. So the business is opening up. And to Liam and Jimmy's points completely, when the like the heat gets turned up on WWE, I think they do have a pride factor of wanting to step up. But the reality is that, like, yeah, they better, because they're never going to die, but they can certainly slip farther from relevance.
Yeah.
Well, and the point with WWE is that they're making money hand over fist. The prince will just pay $40 billion if he wants The Rock to show up for a show in April, or they want him to be Universal Champion. I mean, that's
going to happen. That's going to happen.
That was one of the more fun rumors that we got to discuss a few months ago, is that The Rock could get $24 million for doing two shows.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's, win the Universal title and walk in as champion of
God,
that show.
God bless America on that one.
Yeah. Or sure. Win it there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Either way, I wish I could be a money mark like that. Like, that would be tremendous.
Yeah, just become the most famous man in the world, Jimmy. What's the big deal?
Well, we're working on that. Well, I got a few people to knock off before we get there. but one of the big quagmires in wrestling is Roman Reigns, and of course we hope that he is doing well in his recovery.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But one of the things that, like, his story, if you look at his story start to finish of trying to beat Brock Lesnar, it should go down as one of the better stories in WWE history. It took him 3 years to finally beat the guy. But it wasn't, because the fans rejected him. It started in Philadelphia when The Rock came out for the Royal Rumble and tried to hand over the reins and salute him. And if you ever watch the Royal Rumble DVD, it's like the history of the Royal Rumble DVD. There's a scene with Michael Hayes immediately after that saying, "Roman, don't worry about Philadelphia. We're thinking global. We're thinking bigger than just this market." Yeah. Is that the problem with WWE right
well,
now?
Well, I can tell you really quick, the problem with the Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar thing, because you're right, it was a disaster, was they didn't tell you a story. Like, Roman Reigns, you're right, never came out and said what Jimmy just told us, you know, through exposition. Roman Reigns never went, "It's taken me 3 years. I can do this." Like, remember when Stone Cold, remember WrestleMania 17 when Stone Cold had help with Vince? Right. And yep. The promos leading up to that were those side by side interviews where they were in the same room, just, and Stone Cold was just going, "You have no idea how bad I need to beat you. It means everything to me. You don't understand. I will do anything to beat you." Why did Roman Reigns say that?
Right in the face, right, in that sit down in the locker room. I know the exact moment. And he looked him dead in the face and said, "Rock, I need this more than anything in my life right now. And I will do whatever it takes to beat you." And that should have been the clue, even though Steve Austin looks back on it and says, "Yeah, I shouldn't have aligned with Vince McMahon in that spot. I should have."
Yeah, the heel turn was terrible. But why didn't he say that? Because they're void of stories. Like, that's what Roman Reigns should have done, was said, "This is the biggest victory I can't get, and I have to have it." And instead it was like, "Brock, you're a part-timer. Ugh."
Yeah. The other thing to think about is the WWE themselves set that entire thing up for failure, because rumors come out around SummerSlam that the plan is for Roman Reigns to win the Royal Rumble and then go on to face Brock at WrestleMania. Now, the Shield had just split. And at that point, everybody did like Roman Reigns. But the problem is that the fans saw that as a problem, right? That he is anointed and
the next John Cena,
and immediately, like a, you know, like a battered spouse, they were the next relationship. They had just gotten out of John Cena. We actually weren't even done with John Cena at that point. And they just assumed that it was going to be hustle, loyalty, respect, and a vest. And so
it was like sincere PTSD in action.
And so they wanted to reject it immediately. And the thing that killed him before he even started was the hernia. Right? Because the problem was, he gets the hernia and is immediately off the shelf for 3 months. So he doesn't even get a chance to potentially earn it with the fans. You know, I know that that's a big fan term, is earning it, you know, which is, it's a scripted television program. It's, there are a bunch of actors, who cares? But he didn't
No, Liam, we don't look at it that way. Pro wrestling is real to me, damn it.
Oh, okay. Well, I apologize.
Wins and losses matter, damn it.
Right. I refuse to call them actors. Have you seen
their
lines?
Yeah. So he proceeds to be off the shelf, come back and win the Royal Rumble. And this thing was dead in the water because now WWE has put the stamp on it that it is a corporate decision, not what the fans want. You know, they end up kind of trying to save it with Seth Rollins, and they do a good job with Seth Rollins coming in and nobody expected it at WrestleMania 31, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Right. But then every single time, I always said on the New Age Insider show during that entire experience that it needed to be the Roman Reigns getting kicked in the nuts tour. Right. That's what I called it, because Roman Reigns needed to keep having these hard luck losses where the fans could start to support him.
Instead of kisses, he got kicked.
Yeah.
It's similar like to the Bayley storyline in NXT.
Correct. Exactly like the Bayley story in NXT. And every single time the fan base started to turn and be like, yeah, Roman isn't that bad. Like, I do want him to win something. And they were like, you want him to win this? And then just full throttled again. And so the fans were never able to get around it. Joe Anoa'i is very good at professional wrestling.
What?
He's very good at it. And it's just really unfortunate that he has just been saddled with this weight that it's going to take cancer to shake off of them.
And not to harp on Roman Reigns, because I know that's not the focus of this episode, but
no, but it's a nice little diversion.
But the what I've always called it on the New Age Insider show, which is live every Wednesday night on newageinsiders.com, yeah. And you can of course download us on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork, Noble, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play for all your podcast needs.
And you can watch on Twitch TV like I do every Wednesday night at 8 p.m.
Jimmy, that's why you're the best. But I also...
I actually do the replays, guys. I can't watch it live. I'm going to work during that hour. So good, just letting you know.
Yeah, we get it. You do trivia or something.
As long as you catch it.
That's right.
As long as you catch it, Sarge, it means the world to us.
As long as you just have to be heard and discussed.
Thank you. Yeah, well, just in that order. Whichever you choose, whatever you need it to be.
Yeah, if you marketing, need to connect, discuss her.
Yeah, right. Yeah, if you need to curd, dehust, and be restrict, whatever you need to get done over there.
What is a hust if you have to dehust?
It's we'll talk about it.
You can't afford it.
We'll talk about it. Yeah, if you have to ask.
This show does get broadcast on radio, so be careful.
We got you.
So there's always been a petulant teenager factor to the Roman Reigns thing to me, because as Liam said, and he's spot on, what John Cena, who was incredibly successful, will go down as one of the best in the industry. I think people recently have got a don't know what you got till it's gone factor with Cena, have begun to appreciate him on a much higher level because he is a pro's pro. But neither
kinda like Tom Brady, kind of like Tom Brady, isn't it?
Tom Brady is still got it. 240-year-old still got it.
They're both the same age and kind of in that category where we know the end is coming for Brady. And yes, we know the end is coming for Cena. So we appreciate him as much as we can.
Yeah. And when they both grow their hair out, they look weird. but the idea is the petulant teenager factor to me is like, as Liam said, for better or worse, John Cena divided the crowd, right? And split them right in half.
Right.
And there was a factor of people that were in that, like, let's call it 20 to 35 bracket, something like that, that were just like, couldn't take it anymore. They didn't recognize this thing. They missed Steve Austin or whatever, whatever.
I still miss Steve Austin.
We all do. And, they just couldn't take it. Right. And so as the John Cena era would be defined as like Vince's guy, this was Vince's decision. Vince pushed him to the moon. Vince wanted him to win all this stuff. Vince. And so I believe the petulant teenage factor is Vince became your parents and you were 15, and anything they said was going to make you roll your eyes and throw a fit and go, you don't get me. And it's not a phase. It's rock and roll and all that nonsense. Right. And so look, was Roman Reigns a former Ring of Honor champion? No. Was he somebody that worked in your local Elks Lodge and you grew up to love him and a root for him? No. But he was part of the Shield, a hugely successful unit. And of course, Vince McMahon picked the most popular thing, which was the Shield, and then picked the guy with the most size related to The Rock from the group.
You also all liked Roman Reigns.
Right, exactly. So it's stupid to say he didn't listen to you, because you're acting like he picked Heath Slater, or like, you know, like you're acting like he picked Bad News Barrett, which nobody asked for, and he didn't. He took the most popular group, the biggest guy in the group that you cheered for in the Royal Rumble the year before, and then pushed him to the moon. So saying he didn't listen is just factually inaccurate. He didn't pick a name out of a hat. He listened to you with your t-shirt money, which he always does. It's the only way to actually vote in the company. And then, like, I think that Roman Reigns always suffered the lingering effects of course, if Vince likes him, it's probably terrible. This is bad. This guy, what, again, was never in Ring of Honor. And so he sucks, and I hate him, and this show's awful. And it's just this fish rots from the head down kind of thing. And I think that you're 1,000% right, partner, that they never gave the guy a fair shot. Now, is Roman Reigns, like, the most impressive guy on the roster? I don't think so, but you could do a lot worse. And with WWE, right now, it's awful that he's got leukemia. But yeah, there is that yeah, but factor if we're going to have an adult conversation here, that the fact that he can't play right now means the team has to try new things. If you want to bring it back to traditional sports, even if you didn't like the franchise quarterback, this was the guy we were going to play with this season. And now he's hurt for all 16 games. So what are we going to do now that we don't have this guy? And it won't be easy, but we're going to have to try new stuff. And for fans that were embittered by Roman Reigns and WWE as a subset of that, then for them right now, with him on the shelf, they have an opportunity to, you know, as awful as it sounds, I mean this with no malice in my heart, if you tune into Monday Night Raw this week, Roman Reigns won't be on that show. And for some people, even though they wish it wasn't because of leukemia, yeah, duh, that is a draw for them and a reason to watch. And so we are in this new sort of resurgence, but I would remind fans to keep in the back and maybe even the front of their mind that he will be back. And when he does, if you thought he was winning before, yeah, imagine when he wrestles and defeats the moon at WrestleMania 36, because I think Roman Reigns is going to go to beat up and pin the moon.
Yeah. Maybe the president. He is a Hall of Famer.
Well, yeah, right. I don't think that Mike and Maria Canales' child is available for WrestleMania.
I hope he's doing okay. He looks great.
You know, I do have a very reliable source told me, who is very close to Roman Reigns, that he is doing okay. He's keeping things under the radar right now, and his treatment has gone exceptionally well. And there is a chance that he could be back in the ring by the end of this year.
Wait a minute. I have to hit the breaking news sounder. Riley has breaking news. Boom. There we go. Breaking news sounder. Go.
You want me to repeat that?
Repeat it so we can get it nice and clear. Roman Reigns is going to be back by the end of the year.
I said there is a chance he could be back by the end of the year.
You just want to be clear.
Way to cover yourself like Metzler.
I always do. Yes, exactly.
I in no way subscribe to the theory that he is not actually sick. So let me throw that out there. I subscribe to many a conspiracy theory. I do not subscribe.
New show coming.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll be on twitch.tv when?
We're doing the first stream this month. I'm going to make an announcement by the end of this week of when we're going to do the first one. It'll probably be on a Thursday.
And what's it called?
It's called No, You're Crazy, where we talk about conspiracies, aliens, cover-ups, government secrets, basically the X-Files live on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. And of course, if you have Amazon Prime, you get a free subscription, and why not use it on three guys that make far less money than Jeff Bezos? And yes, his fortune is going to be split in half, but he will still make $250 million a day, and the New Age Insiders don't. So twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV to get the streams and watch No, You're Crazy, covering all conspiracies. I do not believe that he is secretly healthy, and this is somewhere Vince McMahon is wringing his hands using something like leukemia. It's not like look, quite frankly, if
faking an injury would have been one thing.
If they were like, he blew out his knee, shucks. You know what I mean?
And
they're
then
like,
surprise of the Royal Rumble.
Right, they're like, Roman, go home for 6 months. This is, you know, we need to get the heat off you. Then fine. There's no way that I believe that they would tell him to say leukemia and then that human being would be okay doing that. So I don't believe that. But when it comes to Roman Reigns, he looks good. The only reason I bring that up is he looks good. They've shown him on College Game Day. He's made a couple appearances on TV. And I'm not telling you, like, I believe he's very sick, but he looks good. You know what I mean? You wouldn't know he's sick. So it's good to hear. Because no matter what, you know, again, bringing it back to conventional sports, you never root for injury. You can't root for injury. You know what I mean? Especially something as
No, it's inhuman. It's inhuman to do that. Yeah, you know, you can root for that on a terrorist or something, but not someone that's...
that's the line?
I do hope Osama bin Laden had leukemia right at the end. I do. I hope it hurt.
I hope he had the worst untreatable cancer in the world, that jabroni, okay?
Yeah.
And that's a nice way to put it, too. But you're right. You never just root for that on anyone there.
And, you know, one of the things we're talking about Roman Reigns, and we hope that he's doing better. He's somebody that a lot of fans don't like that we've discussed. You know, some of the things that I'm curious as to what you guys don't like in pro wrestling right now, because one of the things that I don't like in pro wrestling is maybe too inside even for everybody. It's leaks to people. It's for lack of a better way of putting it, kayfabing the boys.
Yeah.
And it kind of ties in a little bit to Roman Reigns, where, you know, the wrestlers at the night that Roman announced he had leukemia, the wrestlers didn't know until he announced it. And then the WWE staff went into the back room and was like, hey, we know you're all upset about this, but hey, go to social media and tell everybody how you feel about it. Well, Roman Reigns is a friend. He's a human being.
Right.
And this company is not telling the people that work for the company that this person is sick. This real person is sick, because they're afraid that it's going to leak out. And then you're asking them to go on social media and share their emotions with it. Is that too inside an issue that I have with pro wrestling?
See, I think that's where they should have said, you know, hey guys, or even, you know, Joe, the actual real name guy of Roman Reigns, the character, go around and tell these guys, listen, I have cancer. I'm going to be out. And as long as he gets clearance from Vince and everyone else, go ahead, say what you want. And then it does force their hand to make that announcement before a live audience on Monday Night Raw, which they did. And maybe they're trying to go back in time before the social media thing, you know, before it gets out there. But I think that's where they should have done in that situation. Because, yeah, in the end, he's not just a colleague. He's a friend. For a lot of those guys, they have the right to know that.
Let me interject one thing quickly. When it comes to that, is from what I was told from people that we know who work there, this is what he wanted, was to announce it this way, and this is a way that he could sort of tell everybody, kind of idea. And the only point I'll make is I definitely want to hear what Bill thinks about what he doesn't like about like the landscape right now. The only thing I'll interject about like the leaks and stuff is this: you can't. It's the have your cake and eat it too philosophy. You know who leaked, quote unquote, leaked that Sting was going to debut the night of Survivor Series 2014?
WWE.
They did. You know what I mean? And so, because guess who knows?
And Brock returning into 2012.
Right, because guess who knows? You do. So, like, for example, right, let's say that Liam, Bill, and I decide we're going to sign a new show to our network, right? And it like gets out there. Well, guess who told people? One of
the
us.
People who know, yeah, right?
one of us. If there's no way there can be a leak in NAI, and if the three of us all be actually befuddled, you know, one of us said it. You know what I mean? Right. Who else could know first? And so for WWE, the idea that they have consciously poked so many holes in the pipeline, so Bleacher Report will keep talking about them, and they'll get picked up by ESPN sometimes. Yeah, now if they've got an actual secret, it's tough to keep. And maybe if you weren't such media hoes, you know what I mean, then you would be able to dam up the well a little bit.
I mean, nobody loves a good piece of gossip more than I do. I mean, I live for this. But the fact that Seth Rollins, and because Seth told me outright a few months ago, but I don't think it was a big secret, that Seth Rollins found out he was winning the title at WrestleMania 31 an hour before it happened.
Awesome.
Like, that's a good thing. That's awesome. A really cool thing, and it didn't leak out because they didn't tell him, because probably they didn't think about it until during the show was happening.
Yeah, that could very well be the case,
too. You know, there was a nice little rumor that Mike and I were privy to, that they changed the finish of the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match in New Orleans this past year because Vince didn't like how the crowd was reacting during the match.
I believe that.
Had he not listened to the 3 years prior to that?
Yeah, right.
Finally, that was it.
Finally, it was like
that was the last straw. No, damn it!
God damn it! I don't know what it is about this crowd.
When they chanted CM Punk and we're throwing the beach brawl around, that was the moment where he's like, you know what, Brock's winning. Just give him 10 F5s and we'll go home.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Beach Balls, then.
Those Beach Balls in Dallas, those are the worst.
But I know, like, storytelling and leaks, and is that something that is ruining the wrestling experience for people?
I would say so. Yeah, I find out way too much information by accident. We're constantly on Twitter. We're very socially active here at NAI,
but not conscious, just active.
Right. So I'm always scrolling.
We don't recycle or nothing.
So I'm always scrolling up and down my timeline, and all of a sudden I see like plans for the Royal Rumble. Here they are, right in this tweet here, and it's just like, God darn, I don't want to see that stuff. Like, if you want to spoil that stuff, like the Ryan Satins of the world or the Sean Ross Saps of the world, put that stuff in an article so we have to click it to see it. Don't put it out there just so we can see it right in the middle of a thing. And like the thing with John Cena and Becky Lynch 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, there was a video of Becky Lynch in the ring throwing Cena out of the ring before that even aired.
And the headline will go like, spoiler alert, Becky Lynch confronts Cena. It's like, you putting what happened in the title and spoiler alert is the equivalent of opening the door while knocking. You know what I mean? Where it's like, why are you knocking? You're already in here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. And so the thing about leaks is it's two camps in entertainment. Period. We talk a lot on New Age Insiders, not just about wrestling, but about movies and comics and TV and all sorts of stuff. And I think you can throw it all into one big pile, because there are people that are going to actively search out on the internet leaked scripts for the Avengers. And then there are people like me that if you tell me anything before I see it, I will actually strike you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I will hit you in your nose if you tell me one goddamn thing about that movie. You know what I mean? Don't do it to me. So there's just those two groups of people. And really what we're talking about is the groups of people that would go to the trouble of like having a wrestling based Twitter account. Like if you have a Twitter account and your header is Dean Ambrose and your name is like, you know,
Dean Ambrose, chick.
Right? Yeah. Lunatic Dean girl. I love you. 1239. And it's just like, yeah, you're not an average person who just sort of checks in from time to time. And you might be inclined to like want to know everything all the time. But spoilers to me, just I can only speak for myself. Spoilers suck. Yeah, I didn't want to know. Do you know how much I would have been excited if I didn't know Sting was going to debut that night? Oh. I have a huge WCW mark. That moment got not ruined for me, but it was 50% as cool because
it was,
I knew.
It was ruined for me, and Sting's one of my favorite wrestlers.
Right, and that's so to me, I think spoiler culture spans entertainment, and I would vote for it sucks.
One thing that I absolutely hate and I think is ruining wrestling is this weird fan mentality that they can't decide, and by they, I mean the royal they can't decide whether or not it's a television scripted show or it's real. Like it's mind-boggling to me that they want to know all of the booking for the next 6 months, but then get mad when they know the booking for the next 6 months.
Yeah, because that's what you get yourself an opportunity to do. When the script leaks, you get a chance to read it, think about it, understand that you would have done it differently, hate the movie, then go see it. It's a completely ass backwards order of events. So when you hear these leaked cards and stuff, you have an opportunity to look at it, think about it, wish it was different, rearrange it in your head, be mad that it's not that card, and the pay-per-view's 2 weeks away and already sucked.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's a terrible train of events.
And the fans, and it's wrestling fan base, just needs to kind of get it in check and decide what it wants to be, because WWE has done a great job since Stephanie, Shane, Vince, and Hunter all stood in that ring and said, look, our bad. We haven't been trying, but we're going to try now. We promise. And since that moment, Raw and SmackDown's kind of been the same quality of good show, but Raw specifically has been a great show. And two out of the four of them were pre-taped.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's something to watch. It's engaging. It's entertaining. And it's like, hey, let's just sit and watch the show. Nobody does this with Game of Thrones or Sons of Anarchy or Breaking Bad. Nobody ever.
It's wrestling and Star Wars fans.
Right.
They cannot be appeased.
Right. It's nonsensical.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm with him there. I just kind of let things play out as it is. And, you know, I know we talk about it all the time, what our potential WrestleMania 35 cards could be. And sometimes I just get upset at myself for doing that. It's like, oh, I just kind of want to see it all play out. I don't want to.
I want to be surprised.
Well that's fine. Yeah. You know, because coming up with your own card is the same thing as, like, you know, to who's going to be the, you know, the AFC NFC championship games.
Right.
You know,
when the predictions. Predictions are cool. They're good. But it's like, at the same time, in the back of my head, I'm like, if I really, really, really wanted to dig for this, I could probably, or I really wanted to find out the actual truth of what's going to happen, I could. But I don't want to do that because I want to let it all play out.
It takes you out of the experience because what you're supposed to do is watch this as a show where, like, you're right. I know that this is, like, this guy's, that's not his real name, and that's not his real name, and they don't have a problem, and later they're going to get a beer. I get it. But I also know that Heath Ledger and Christian Bale didn't hate each other either. But for 2.5 hours, I sat there and played along. And so what I don't like is the idea that with wrestling, right, even the basics, so even if it's not broken down as a storyline or, like, you know, steel cage is going to be the payoff, whatever, whatever, just down to the fact that, like, the rumor is that, like, Balor and Owens are going to have a program, right?
Really? They are?
Yeah, though that is the
spoiler alert.
Right? Those are
are they going to have a ladder match in Brooklyn?
Yes, we're going to go back in time. Which everything seems simpler. There was so much reason for optimism with Finn Balor. But even if you just hear,
by the way, Finn Balor, I believe, is on day 875 as Universal Champion, Jason.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
It's an inside joke between Jason and I.
Okay. I do appreciate you, Jimmy. I really do. But just the idea that those two are going to, like, be paired up for this pay-per-view, right? Even if you don't give away the farm, then when Kevin Owens runs down during a Finn Balor match, you go, like, yeah, of course he did. They need to get together. Even the basics aren't fun and surprising anymore. So, like, if you go to New Age Insiders, we don't post spoilers. Now, what we can do is, like, if there's big news, we know some people that work for the company. We have some great connections. So we can try to, like, run some things up the flagpole and stuff. But I never ask for stories. I never ask for leaks. I never ask for, like, cards or scripts or photos or anything dumb like that. Because I don't want to be the guy that puts something out there and you go scrolling by and all of a sudden the Royal Rumble's not as exciting to you because I told you who's going to win and you didn't want to know that going in.
Right.
Because I don't want to know going in.
I didn't know Shinsuke, like, Nakamura was going to win the Royal Rumble last year.
See, I did because everybody talked about it that morning that the Vegas betting odds shifted greatly in his favor and all the dirt sheets ran that Nakamura is suddenly the odds-on favorite. Now, if there weren't dirt sheets or I had ostriched myself in the sand for the day, we went to the Royal Rumble,
right,
and him winning would have floored me. I would have been blown away by that, just like I was 8 hours before, but I had so much time to think about it.
Right.
That, yes, the moment was very cool, but I promise you it was less special for me because I was told it was going to happen.
Right.
And, like, that's the thing. Like, if I was told before, like, the movie that Thanos was going to win and half the roster was going to get snapped away, I would still love Avengers Infinity War. But the fact that I didn't know that made the movie so much more enjoyable and gut-wrenching and it was just better. It was a better experience. And I think wrestling fans are definitely missing out on a blissful period of ignorance like we used to have.
The willing suspension of disbelief is just not alive in wrestling because everybody wants, it's cool to be the in guy. It's cool to, like,
it's also sometimes wrestlers' faults that if you're Alexa Bliss and your at is at Bliss WWE, but your name is Lexi Kaufman, you're taking people out of it a little bit. I'm sorry. You are.
It's the same as Chris Jericho posting a photo with Kenny Omega after their Wrestle Kingdom match and after they both won championships in New Japan. I get that. Do you think that, just following up on this conversation a little bit, do you think that, because I have felt strongly since New Orleans WrestleMania that the main event of New York WrestleMania was going to be Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey. Do you think that that has helped the rocket tied to Becky Lynch, where she starts getting cheered as she's climbing up the Money in the Bank ladder, and now we are here to the point where she is the man, and everybody wants her against Ronda Rousey instead of Charlotte Flair.
So if you listen to the New Age Insiders, I've been on this train for weeks. I believe that it is going to be a 4-on-4 women's match that'll close WrestleMania. I believe that everybody happens to have problems with it, each other, and
Tell us who your four are. Go ahead.
So the nicknames are the four horsewomen, right? They're the four horsewomen of WWE, and there's the four horsewomen of the UFC. And so the four horsewomen of WWE is Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, and Bayley. And then the four horsewomen of the UFC are Ronda, Shayna Baszler, and then And then I forget the other two.
Remember Garfield? Forgot about the other two also. They're just kind of there.
Remember Garfield and Friends, where they were just that farm?
They're
two from the farm.
Yeah, they're two from them. Exactly. And so basically, Becky Lynch has never been more popular than she is right now. We have seen an actual, you know, effort being made to make women's wrestling equality a very big deal here in the WWE, and they've done a great job. They've main evented Raws. It's a regular occurrence where the women are just going to main event Raw. This is the best match that we're going to offer. This is what it is. Becky Lynch is the WWE champion right now. You know, to be fair, Daniel Bryan is doing a great job, so it's a little bit closer than it used to be.
She's one of the reasons to watch.
And Ronda Rousey is spectacular at this, and a spectacle and a draw. So throwing all of that into the mix and then throwing in the four women or the 8-on-8 makes a lot of sense. Now they close WrestleMania. You know, it's the emphasis on women. It's the last thing that the women haven't done that the men have. I can't think of anything else aside from the main event of WrestleMania that is that big of a flagpole.
It's also the mountaintop.
Right.
It's the mountaintop. It's the wrestling dream. It's the Super Bowl of Super Bowls. It's not only the WrestleMania, it's the main event. I have subscribed to believing that at the very least, the main event of Mania will be Rousey, Charlotte versus Becky, like a triple threat.
Right? Okay.
I think at the very least we're going to get there, because I do believe I heard similar things and just completely believe, Jimmy, in general, that the plan was Rousey versus Charlotte.
Yeah.
I can believe that for 100 million reasons. It's one of the reasons that Charlotte beat Asuka streak. It's not the only reason, but it's one of them, to give her that, like, boom, no, it's me, here I am again kind of win.
Yeah.
For her to be a very, very big deal, because I've said this on our show as well, I do believe that one of the company's goals is to build and construct the greatest women's wrestler of all time, and that project is named Charlotte Flair.
And she is genetically superior to all of us.
Right, and I know she's Jimmy's favorite wrestler, and for good reason. I mean, she's excellent. She has inherited a lot of her dad's skills as far as charisma.
Keep going.
She owns the room. She gets through and tells stories in the ring. She's emotional. She's just taller than everyone, and you know how I know she's great?
Gorgeous.
You know how I know she's great, Jimmy?
How great is she?
And I mean this as a compliment. She falls into the same category to me as Goldberg, where the belt looks like it should be part of her entrance gear. It's weird when she doesn't have it. Like, Goldberg should just always be wearing the WCW championship, like, to dinner. You know what I mean? And so, like, it's weird when Goldberg doesn't have the WCW title on. And so it's, like, weird when Charlotte doesn't have the belt on to me. But the thing is,
it's like, a championship, damn it.
Yeah, it is a championship. But they do wear it, around their waist. Although it props up no pants. So what are we doing here?
Thank you, Big Show.
But here's the thing. The reality is that Becky Lynch is that, you know, this popularity boom. My kind of bummer statement will be that I think in 6 months from now, there's no chance Becky Lynch is still this popular. And this is a flash in the pan that will die. But hey, let's make some money off it while we can. No harm, no foul. But the big thing is that it's Ronda Rousey, because she's the biggest name in female sports other than Serena Williams, and it's a coin flip. Charlotte Flair, because again, we're building the greatest women's wrestler of all time. I believe Charlotte Flair will be the first person to pin or tap Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. And so they're on a collision course.
Charlotte will do both.
Ronda Rousey will be tapping out while her shoulders are on the mat. That's how she beats her twice.
Thank you for that.
There you go. Because to Liam's point, this for the last 18 months, look at what we've done. I mean, really since Dallas, where we introduced a women's championship over a Divas title with what looked like a lower back tattoo. But look what we've done. We've had a first ever women's Royal Rumble, and it closed the show. We've had a first ever women's Money in the Bank, and a man won it. But then we had a second one and gave it to a woman. And then you know what I mean? And we've had ladder matches and Extreme Rules
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cells and Iron Woman matches, right? And so, yes, the last frontier for the women's revolution is the main event of WrestleMania.
This is the edge on the cake.
A once untouchable star. And so you got to think that what they need to do is load that with star power. And I've said this a million times. The tagline is Ronda Rousey versus Ric Flair's daughter, right? It appeals to everybody, right? Ronda Rousey, I know who that is. Ric Flair's daughter. Oh, I know enough about wrestling to care about that, right? Why do you think people cared about Layla Ali? Because of women's boxing? You know what I mean? It's because she's Muhammad Ali's daughter. Let's check out what she's doing. You know what I mean? Right. And so it's the star power of Ronda Rousey and Ric Flair's daughter. And sure, the booming popularity of this chick that thinks she's Steve Austin. And so let's throw her in there too so people don't freak out. Because the other, just a quick point is, there are people that are a little not on. I love Ronda Rousey, but some people think that, you know, she, of course, has just got pushed to the moon and favoritism and blah. And there are some people that don't love Charlotte. And yes, Jimmy, they're wrong. But there are some people that don't love her because she has a famous dad. So we should definitely hold that against her. And so Becky Lynch being in the main event sort of soothes all the burns. You know what I mean? But hey, I also predict that no matter what, guys, sorry, Becky Lynch can be in the match and the ref. And Charlotte's going to beat Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania because the ultimate end game here, 5-10 years down the road, is to construct the greatest women's wrestler of all time. We will go from 0 to 100. Yeah. And the other thing too is, you know, we've talked about this a lot. There is no unanimous answer. Who's the greatest woman of all time?
It's funny.
Thunder Blaze. There's no great answer. It's definitely not Trish Stratus, you guys. You know what I mean? So we'll just make Charlotte.
It's funny you said that because we were asked that. You guys have been plugging NAI all night, so I'm going to plug us at WrestleCast985.
We're on your show.
This is your show. I have a feeling that people heard of you.
Well, there you go. At WrestleCast985. Also, I'm on Twitter at Sarge985. But anyways, we had someone did ask a question a couple of months ago for the Mount Rushmore for the women's wrestlers. And of
it's
all
for Charlotte's,
time,
Mike. It's easy. It's for Charlotte's.
Not yet. No. I didn't put her up there yet because her career is not over. It's just not. I don't have her in there.
Yeah, well, technically, John Cena's isn't either, but he's on there.
She's already done 50 times what Lita did in the business, and I'm supposed to buy that Lita is an all-time great.
Yeah.
Charlotte is already an all-time great.
And here's the thing. We can't.
She's up there, but listen, she's up there. She will be number one when it's all said and done. Well, but right now, no, I'm sorry. Not there.
Here's the thing. We can't talk about Moolah, right?
Or China.
Because
she is on my Mount Rushmore. Miss Elizabeth is there, too. Those are the ones that are there.
She never took a bump. I guess my four women of the Rushmore all time are Alundra Blaze, Bull Makata. Is that even her name?
Nakano.
I'm not even like that chick I'm supposed to think it is.
I don't even know who that is.
Charlotte Flair.
I'd probably
Sasha Banks.
Yo, you don't believe that. You don't even believe that.
It's so young.
Be on our show. I know all your friends.
I think the end of your list is Sherry Martel.
I suppose so. If not China, I mean, you do need to consider her a women's wrestler. She held the women's title.
China's definitely up there.
Or Moolah, because I mean, Moolah is the Bruno Sammartino of women's wrestling.
We can't talk about her because apparently she's terrible.
I know, but she basically was a human trafficker. But hell of a run.
There's been plenty of worse men that are in the Hall of Fame.
She's gonna be there. Charlotte will be there for me at some point, but right now for the Mount Rushmore, for the ones that have stitched their name in the legacy, China, Miss Elizabeth, Trish Stratus, Sherry Martel.
Miss Elizabeth is a LA Hall of Fame.
She's a personality. She's not a wrestler.
No.
I'm talking women in professional wrestling.
Oh, okay. Women in professional. Okay.
She was the first lady of professional wrestling.
And I'm going to put Stacy Keibler on there because she was very instrumental in my teenage years.
Go for it. maybe still to this day.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Is she still with Clooney?
No.
I don't think so.
No. I don't know.
She's very near to my heart.
Yeah. Jay Stu and I got a picture with her last year at our WrestleCon. It was delightful.
I had some pictures, Sarge.
Oh, I've got some pictures, too. 41-inch legs, right. I believe it was, for Stacy.
They had ZZ Top and Kid Rock talk about it.
Oh, man, that was a Hall of Fame speech.
Remember that? Did Kid Rock cover that song?
I do love what Jason was saying with Charlotte, though. I think he hit the nail on the head that they are building her to be the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And yes,
she already is actually.
Well, I know, but they're actually going to give her that title though in the end, to, you know, with all the accolades that she's accomplished and so forth. So it is only a matter of time. And yeah, it was funny you said that about Becky Lynch, because I was thinking about that today too. Like, she's white hot right now. Like, not red hot, white hot.
Blue,
we know
flame
that,
hot, Mike. Blue flame.
No, white is the hottest of the fire. And it's just, it is just really like, where is she going
your
to
be? T-shirt? Can that be your 98.5 whitest is the hot of the fire?
Yeah, I wore that.
I just don't think there's any expression that fits Mike Sarge Riley better than whitest is the hot of the fire. That should be your voicemail.
I'm going to do that when I get off the telecast.
What up, sweetheart? Right? That is me on OK Cupid. White is just the hot of the fire. Drop me a line. I'll give you a jingle back.
Riley is a Bumble person. Bumble person.
Yeah,
I'll call you. I'll call you Bumble. Can I ladies, call you honey? Bumble? Get it's a bee joke. I'll treat you like a queen. 98.5. The sports.
I've got a Bumble bullpen.
Is your hairdo a beehive? I'll be here all week. 98.5. The sports hub.
This is TMI, all right?
It's cold outside. I'll just go grab my yellow jacket. Mike Sarge Riley, 98.5, the sports hub.
Well, you know what? Valentine's Day is coming up, so keep it in mind, kids.
Just be careful, guys, because if you're too mean to Mike, you'll get a direct message from a female friend of his.
Now I want to make that happen.
Is that true, Jimmy? Have you had that before?
I've had that happen before.
Oh, I got to hear this from you.
That's a true story.
Okay. Now I'm going
to... After he hits the record.
I got to hear this story. I didn't hear about this. All right, okay. Anyways, with Becky Lynch, though, I am very curious to see how long this does last for her. Because, yes, she is white hot right now.
Here's the thing with Becky Lynch. She hasn't done anything, right? If you think about it, right? She was an okay match with Charlotte in Saudi Arabia. But that
was the Hell in a Cell match that she won the title, and it was a weird, clunky finish. It was just a bad. They had a bad match.
Evolution was awesome.
Evolution. They had the Last Man Standing match. That was pretty good. They had the match where she just walked away with the title, and it was a no DQ. Then she gets her face broken and can't be at the
Survivor Series.
And that's where everybody falls in love with her. But then, she loses the title at the next pay-per-view. And where are we now? So I don't think this is going to last.
She could have thrown the women's title into the ocean like Steve Austin did.
Or the trash. TV.
Yeah,
cool too. She could have thrown it in the trash.
Either one.
Eric Bischoff would have co-signed on that one.
That is incredible. Like, I don't think people appreciate that. Like, can you imagine if
small little wastebasket.
If Asuka went to Ring of Honor and threw the SmackDown women's title away. Can you imagine?
That's actually the event of the Madison Square Garden show. Is Asuka's going to walk out there and do it for New Japan and Ring of Honor?
That is the main event.
That'll be the most shocking thing in the world, because New Japan doesn't even have a women's division.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Asuka's like, I am the women's champion because I said so.
It's like, all right.
I'm not going to take it away from you, lady. Here you go.
Yeah, sure. Here you go.
I am very afraid of
you. A Japanese-based company has a United States championship.
Yeah, I am terrified of you. You look like you should be crawling out of my TV coming after me from 7 days after I watched a video. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, I do want to wrap up with you guys because we are into the overtime of WrestleMania 12 right now.
Oof. Did we pay for it or did we just go to black?
Is it Halloween Havoc all over again?
It could be. I can offer you a bottle of water, because that's what you guys paid me for when I did your podcast, which I was more than happy to do, and I'm happy to do anytime you want.
Pretty sure I got you two.
You did, and the best part about it is that there was no Sarge part of that.
Well, anytime you guys want me, the old saying is no charge from the Sarge. There you go. Go ahead, Jimmy. Continue.
Can you do trivia live from our show?
You're a slogan machine.
That's how it works, baby. How it works.
Sarge, you're welcome here anytime.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Any day that ends in a Y.
Except for Wednesday. When we do the show, because you got trivia. Okay,
I believe he has trivia on Fridays also. And I think he teaches a class one night. And
first of all, what class do you teach? And where can I take it?
Do you teach cooking for singles? Because I just like to believe you do that.
Oh, under a white hot stove.
Yeah, right.
A white hot open flame.
Right. Now the package is gonna say for two. Don't be fooled. Eat up.
I would never be a teacher in a class like that. I would be a proud A-plus student because it is a female's dream to have a male cook for her. It's awesome.
Yeah. So you teach that class, right?
No, I wish I did. Like I said, I'd be a student first, but no, yeah. I did not. We'll talk about that out there.
What class do you teach?
About broadcasting.
Oh, where? Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Can I take this class?
That's very cool.
We'll talk. I can't give it all on the air because it's a sponsorship thing. You know what I mean? So we'll talk about it.
Oh, no, they're an advertiser on the station. CSB is an advertiser.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
They are. CSB, Mike Lockhart, graduate there.
I'm a CSB grad myself.
Okay.
I looked at their website once.
Yeah. I went there in 2007. As long as
I graduated high school in 2007.
Oh, geez.
I was 48.
I just know that bringing up my age. I know that bringing up my age does wonders for
me. I
always feel good about it. It's like, yeah, I was like 19 and like doing stuff, and these guys are like, yeah, I wasn't born yet. My parents didn't know each other. I'm like, ah, okay.
I haven't laughed this hard in a long time. I want to thank you guys for that.
I love the white hot stuff. You guys crush that. That's a great slogan. I love it. I'm using that here on out.
I want to go around the room, and I will start with Bill because I've known him the longest.
He's also the prettiest.
It's true.
I would agree with that.
Bill, you got a girlfriend now.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. So
expectations for pro wrestling in 2019 and going forward.
Oh, geez. 2019.
You got this question 24 hours ago.
I know. Sorry,
force a habit with Fat Toe Bedard.
It's pressure because you said we're wrapping up two or three minutes ago.
No, take as much time as you need.
All right. So 20.
But you got this question 24 hours ago, Bedard. Hey! Go have another follow.
Well, deep down, it means hurry up, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so the expectations for 2019, I think it's going to be a huge year for pro wrestling. You know, WWE seems to be making this big turnaround after 2018 sort of seemed very complacent, where they got their Saudi money, they got their USA and Fox money, and they just kind of felt like they didn't care. And the low quality of Raw episodes they're putting out, and it was just a year that I just kind of want to forget about as a wrestling fan because I almost kind of stopped watching for a while. And, you know, 2019, the beginning of the year so far has been pretty good. Raw and SmackDown have been really good. The announcement of AEW, they've got Ring of Honor selling out Madison Square Garden. You got Impact. You got a bunch of our friends are making real money in Evolve and all these other companies, you know. So 2019 is a huge deal for pro wrestling going forward, and I'm really excited to see what it brings.
Yeah, I think that 2019 is a great time to be a fan of this thing because wrestling is a silly, dumb form of entertainment. And I think it's like, again, I lump it in to any other kind of entertainment. Now, pro wrestling tends to be my favorite kind of entertainment because I think it's just everything. It's a living comic book if you want it to be. It's silly in all the best ways and can be very captivating in all the real ways I look for in fiction in general. So I think it's a beautiful art form and something that's super fun and can be super fun. And at the very end of the day, always should be super fun because guess what? It's not that serious. It's not politics. It's not your tax dollars at work. It's not even your local sports teams out there having legitimate competition. So like at the end of the day, I know how crass this sounds because I promise you, I love this thing too. But it doesn't matter. It should matter to you a great deal if it's bringing you all the joy pro wrestling should be bringing you. But if it stresses you out and bothers you to the point where you have a Twitter account solely to scream at the ether and just be, you know, out there and just feel the need to vent, then why are you watching it at all, quite frankly? And I want to bring people into it and attract people. I'm not telling people like, shut up and stop watching. I do think it is a tremendous time because as Bill said, there's real options out there. There's real people out there making great money. Your local scene is probably popping. The indie scene is popping and WWE has the best roster they've ever had and are more accessible than ever before. You can watch their pay-per-views on your phone now. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, I had to beg to watch the big pay-per-views because they cost $60, right? And so I had to beg for like two or three a year. And now for $10, you can watch it on your phone. You know what I mean? And like I said, there's just so much talent. It's spread pretty thick. And it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. And I just highly encourage people to let it bring you that joy. It's people pretending to fight in their underpants. Let that bring you joy.
Yeah.
It shouldn't, like, there are no Avengers. They're all actors. They're all real people that go home in real cars to their real houses. None of them have superpowers, right? But if you go to the Avengers and you sit there for 2 hours and you have a blast and you walk home and you go home and you go, man, that was great, then it bettered your life and it bettered your day. And if you overthink it and go, I would have had Thanos, who's not even flipping real, do this instead of that, and I would have had that guy disappear, which is also fictional. You know what I mean? And it's just like, dude, you're overthinking this. And so big picture, enjoy it. Go watch Will Ospreay versus Kota Ibushi if you don't like Raw. Go watch Raw if you want to like WWE because it's the easiest product to get. Or find something in the middle because you have a ton of options. And at the very least, bare bones minimum, what we try to do here at the New Age Insiders is bring people together that like this stupid thing. And if you go on the internet and you're like, God, does everybody just hate wrestling? What's even the point? There are havens, and we try to be one of them. And let wrestling bring you joy. Because guess what? The Macho Man and Hulk Hogan also knew the end of their fight and also didn't hate each other as much as they did on screen. And it's always been this way. So just like, turn your brain off for 3 hours on Mondays, have a good time, or don't. You know what I mean? But don't let it eat you up inside. And I think that's the trap that a lot of people fall into.
In 2019, there is so much to look forward to. New Japan is more accessible than it's ever been and legitimately worth a watch. There are so many performers that are going to end up in WWE eventually, or it's so different that it doesn't look like WWE. And they put on great stuff. Everything with AEW. AEW is fantastic because it's new. It's exciting. They have a roster of people you care about. And being the Elite is the best wrestling program on television. And there's no wrestling on it. It takes nothing to just turn your brain off and watch it and just be wowed by the spectacle. Because it's closer to the circus than it is some sort of high-end drama. And if you just turn off your brain and say, hey, I'm going to enjoy this and don't analyze it, you're going to have a good time.
Hulk Hogan's always been silly, guys.
Yeah.
It's always been silly. Hulk Hogan used to try to defend the honor of America by wrestling a guy from another country.
It's
like that was going to do it.
It's dumb. It's fun. And don't let anybody's terrible, miserable internet feelings let you think that it's not dumb and fun.
Yeah, you know, and I don't read into the Twitter trolls and so forth anymore for people that try to bring you down, because I just realized that they're probably not happy with their own life, and they see, you know, there's some jealousy to see others having so much fun, enjoying themselves, being at wrestling events, seeing me. Yeah, okay, I fully admit I'm 34 years old and I have championship belts. I have no problem bringing those to live events.
The first time I ever met Mike Sarge Riley, we were doing the Cornish Cure tailgate that we do at every WrestleMania since WrestleMania in Dallas. And he just walks over and he goes, hey, you the New Age Insider? Like, yeah. He's like, and he just picks up one of Jay's belts and just wanders off. And I was just like, I think that guy just stole your belt.
But he was very cordial.
He was very nice about it. He might have been in the army.
Yeah, right.
I found out later that was not the truth.
Some sort of Coast Guard enthusiast? Yeah, what's going on?
Did he like go to the Man Scouts? What happened?
Oh, the Man Scouts.
Yeah, I did give you the belt back, but I didn't want to. And it was hard to have Bill send security after me. And I did end up surrendering it. But I have no problem with going to live events with my championship titles. And, you know, if people want to take shots at me for it, go ahead. I don't care. I enjoy it. I plan to go to many live events this year. Okay. I plan to watch as much as I can. There's so much out there. Take it all in as a fan. Enjoy yourself. And it's just, there's so much access here. Look at the podcast we're doing. Jimmy and I do this every week on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You guys have one on the internet. You have a Twitter page. You have a Twitch page. You have all that
Patreon.
Stuff. So
pay for Patreon. The good stuff.
Yes, so much
and
accessible.
So you know, we still are for sale.
Very much so.
So much accessibility.
They're carnies, like we are.
No, I love it. So much accessibility to it. Tap into it. Enjoy it as much as you can, because I think the last couple of years have been pretty darn good, and I think it's only going to get better.
I tell this story all the time because wrestling can bring you so much joy and so many. It can bring you to so many awesome places that you might not have thought you would be able to go at one point. And I say this to Jay every single time.
And meet people too. And meet people through wrestling.
Every single time that we cross a major milestone here at the New Age Insiders, the goal for us was to have 100 people we didn't know to follow us on a Twitter account on the internet. And, you know, Jay went through and did all the whole shtick about our statistics at the beginning of the show. But, you know, downloaded on six continents and being invited to All In, to be part of the press for All In this past year, being invited to do the Connor's Cure tailgate outside of WrestleMania every year is an awesome thing to be a part of. To being invited to the WWE Hall of Fame by a WWE Hall of Fame inductee.
We were Bill Goldberg's personal guest to the WWE Hall of Fame, something I just say out loud anytime I get a chance to.
And it's just
that's awesome.
Wrestling has the potential to bring so much joy from an international fan base. We see it every year when we go to WrestleMania, and our fan base travels from literally all over the world. You know, we have people that have never met before, came in from England or sharing hotel rooms just because of the community that we built and into the world of pro wrestling. We all like it. So why do we talk trash about it?
Right.
Just like it and be like, I like this thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's cool to be critical, because guess what? Some of the Marvel movies are better than others, and nothing's perfect, right? But, like, don't we go to these movies on purpose? No one makes us.
Right.
Don't we like to talk about these movies with our free time?
You pay taxes on, because you have to.
Right, no one makes us. Right, yeah, death and taxes, man. Everything else is on your own. And so if I'm going to spend my money to go to all these movies, why would I have an account just to bash Marvel? And it's the same thing with wrestling. It's just entertainment. So if I watch this thing, no one makes me. There's nobody that goes like, sit down. You got convicted and your sentence was probation that involves mandatory Monday Night Raw. That's never happened. You know what I mean? And so like, you sit down with your free time of your own fruition and you watch this show. And if you're going to choose to do that, look, I'm not telling you to play dumb and play the Everything Is Awesome song as made famous by the Felger and Maz radio program.
You're welcome.
Right, you don't have to have blind loyalty to something. That's stupid. That's asinine. But it's also asinine to absorb this much of the content voluntarily when you're this unhappy. And so to, which I do believe I am speaking to the minority of fans that just live to be bitter when it comes to wrestling, maybe you got to reevaluate things.
It's also not cool to have the counter opinion.
Right, it's right.
That's a society thing, I feel like.
Oh, that is a society.
Disliking. The terrible thing is that nobody's actually open to having a legitimate dialogue about anything. It's, I'm in this corner, I'm in the blue corner, you're in the red corner, and we're just going to fight, and we're never going to compromise.
Well, you're right. No, but it's 100% correct. It's, we even do it in our everyday vernacular, right? Like something as simple as chicken nuggets. Somebody's going to say that they...
Vernacular meat. No, go ahead. Continue, Jason.
But somebody's going to say about like something as simple as chicken nuggets. Somebody's going to say they love them, and somebody's going to say they hate them. It can't be like, oh, I like chicken nuggets, because you don't love chicken nuggets unless you're a pregnant woman. And you don't hate chicken nuggets unless somehow a sentient chicken nugget killed a member of your family. So, you know, it's impossible for you to have hate for chicken nuggets. You know what I mean? And so it's not like or I could take them or leave them. It's love and hate. And that's everything. The decision that WWE make is either brilliant or it is the stupidest thing ever. Am I even going to watch next week? Yes, you are. And so that's where we are just as a society. Everything is to the extreme. Again, if you could possibly say, I hate curly fries, you hate them. You hate curly fries.
Passion.
You stay up at night thinking about terrible things you wish happened to curly fries. You hate them, or do you would just prefer to eat a different form of potato, you ass? You know what I mean? And so that's just where we are in society. It's like, yeah, like Seth Rollins, like, oh, Seth Rollins is the worst. Like, oh, Seth Rollins is the worst, is he? You ever see James Ellsworth go out there and give it a go? You know what I mean? But Seth Rollins is the worst. You ever go down to your local Elks Lodge and watch some guy hit the ropes and fall down in his own face because he thinks he can do a springboard something and his name is something like Sammy Hot Sauce? No, that's the worst wrestler in the world, not Seth Rollins. And so it's like a generalization thing where it's like, hey, man, meet in the middle and have a good time, because it doesn't actually matter. It's wrestling. It's scripted. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're actors in a play. It's Cirque du Soleil with muscles.
And if the good thing is, and just my closing statement is, like, the beautiful thing about pro wrestling is it combines all the, like, angst and, you know, emotional investment of traditional sports. These wrestlers are your favorite teams, right? But, and it combines, so not even the but, just the good stuff. It combines, like, the, oh, God, Daniel Bryan is my favorite team. I get to watch him maybe win or lose. It combines the scripted drama of, you know, at any given time, WWE can have the Indians finally win the World Series. They control that. If they want it to happen, it happens. If it doesn't, they don't. If they don't want it to, it doesn't, right? But the equally frustrating part is the exact mirror image of that. You care about these wrestlers as much as your favorite sports teams, which tends to be a lot. But on the flip side, somebody controls their destiny. So the Cubs in 2016 finally didn't blow it, and those baseball players performed to a certain level and were successful because they controlled that. It's frustrating if you can imagine being a Cleveland Indians fan and the commissioner decides who wins the World Series every year, and he keeps passing you by. And that would be unbelievably frustrating. And that's how some people feel about their favorite wrestler is. Vince McMahon is the commissioner of this crooked, rigged sport. Yeah. How come you don't pick my team? And so wrestling is beautiful in the same way that it's frustrating.
So I would like to apologize to everybody because I produce a show that says that people suck and blow both at the same time. So
that's true. Oh, it's a good show, though.
I can't wait.
Yeah, like that Sony Michelle guy.
I can't wait for the show tomorrow.
Yeah, I also look forward to that.
I don't know if I should read the text message. Do you want me to read text messages?
You should
messages?
Get Ex-Kellerman on to talk to Maz.
Oh, what do you have? See.
I just love that the person that called in last week talking about the actual first half statistics of Sony Michel and how he's actually been important to the Patriots wins.
He had a good game.
He had an amazing game.
Yeah.
A great season.
He has had a good season.
Rookie of the year.
Michelle Ooh. Burkhead, that fat guy on the Rams last night. What's the diff?
Well, I know that Michael Felger values running backs as much as he basically values, like, what he stirs his coffee with in the morning, right? They're all disposable. They're all the same. I don't need anything fancy to stir my coffee. Just mix it up, damn it. But Sony Michel's good. He really is. He's going to...
Guys, I want to thank you guys for joining us, and I will let you guys do your own tagline since I screwed it up to open, and... you guys are just really good at it, and it's going to be catchy, and people are going to go to a live event in New York, and people are going to be singing along with you. So
my name has been Jason Maltov.
I'm Liam Streger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all over the place. If it's a social media basis, except for Snapchat, because I don't understand it, we are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville. NAI, our website is newageinsiders.com. Everything you need to link out to our Patreon for 5 exclusive shows a month, daily rewards, and you're going to be supporting guys that are out there bringing wrestling fans together and chasing a dream.
Money.
Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. We are live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. If you can't catch us there, make sure to download us and subscribe on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Normal, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. Again,
iHeartRadio.
Somebody listening to the 98.5 version of this is going to Google Glork Normal and try to find out what the hell that is.
Find us.
Well, then tweet at us and we'll tell you.
We have subsidiary shows in a lot of a great community of great people that all encompass the New Age Insiders experience. We thank you so much for having us, guys. It means a lot to us. We're huge fans of you and consider you friends. And thank you for having us help us to take another step forward in becoming the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
Well, thank you guys for having me on your show. And you know, we're not in competition with each other. I find that we are wrestling fans. We are family. And if we can help each other out, then I'm all for it.
Yay!
And that's why I did your show. That's why you're here, although it should have been sooner. But, you know, technology and schedules and all that stuff. as is usually the case, Mike Riley gets the final word.
Well, yeah. Hey, listen, this worked out pretty darn well, and I hope we can do this again in the near future. I mean, listen, we got a couple big events coming up, so a potential big market tease there. Wink, wink. Maybe that could be on the horizon, but I would certainly like to have this roundtable discussion again with the New Age Insiders, definitely down the line, sooner than later in 2019. And that's the bottom line, because Sarge said so.
Thank you. And one quick thing to plug. If you're going to WrestleMania 35, it's in New York, so we know a lot of people in the area tend to go out to WrestleMania 35. We are working with the Mania Club, directly involved with Connor's Cure, the real Connor's Cure, not like we're writing a check and hope it gets there. And WWE. And so if you're going out to WrestleMania 35, please check out Connor's Cure, the Connor's Cure WrestleMania tailgate. It is a blast. There was literally 1,000 wrestling fans in New Orleans in this big parking lot coming out to see us. Food, barbecue, beer, all you can eat. There's tickets available. It all goes to charity. It all goes to Connor's Cure. There's awesome auction items, signed memorabilia. It's a blast. So again, thank you guys huge. And we just want to get that out there, that if you are going to WrestleMania, please come out and see us. Check out the Mania Club and Connor's,
on Facebook.
And Connor's Cure is the Connor's Cure WrestleMania tailgate. We'd love to see you there. It is the best time. It's the fourth one we're doing, and it is like one of the highlights of the whole trip. So please come out there and check us out and support an awesome, awesome cause.
Tough cause to not get behind on that one.
Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of the 985 The Sports Hub app and at 985thesportshub.com. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For the New Age Insiders, for Mike Riley at Sarge985, our show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at I am James Stewart. For James Stewart, I am James Stewart. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.